Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to get into a number of other things yet this evening as well. But we're glad you're with us tonight. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program tonight. Help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we talk about here this evening. Pray your blessing and watch care of us, Lord, and just pray we be a blessing, encouragement, and a help to those that are listening tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, glad to be with you tonight. And just looking at my phone, and you know how you get from different social media things, they'll tell you, you know, pictures from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 8 years ago. And I've been looking at all these pictures from, you know, like 4 years ago. I think the last one I had was 8 years ago. And looking at my backyard and my back porch just covered in snow. And I'm thinking about being outside yesterday, working on a fence and just perfect weather for working. It wasn't raining. It wasn't snowing. It was a comfortable temperature. Just needed a light jacket on and just perfect working weather outside. And even today, it was really nice. We warmed up today in Richfield. I think we hit 52 at our house at one point. And then, of course, it was 36 degrees when I got out of my car here at the studio tonight. Sure, a lot better than the snow and ice. But it is kind of amazing how it works out. The western half of the United States, they are still getting a lot of serious weather out there. And I guess what it is, it's kind of interesting the way the jet stream has gone. Dick Goddard, for those who remember listening to Dick Goddard, when he was an institution here in northeastern Ohio with the weather. But he used to always talk about, I think he called it a mega block, and because it's shaped like the Greek letter omega. And you get this dip of the jet stream, and it's pulling the Arctic air down over the western half of the United States. And then it shoots back up north over the plains, and that brings in the warm, moist Gulf air up into the eastern side of the United States. And that's why we've been getting such warm, wet weather here. And, you know, we've had a lot of rain. We were joking, saying that if all that rain that we had in February had been snow, we'd be digging ourselves out still come next June and July. We just had so much rain in February, and we had our fair share of rain already this month. Last Friday, for instance, just rain constantly. I don't know about where you're at, but everywhere I was at on Friday, it just rained and rained and rained. And I guess I'm thankful it wasn't snow, or yeah, probably wouldn't have got anywhere Friday night as a result for our Friday night Bible study and all. But very comfortable right now, and so we're glad for it. Just a reminder again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I am the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information about that coming up here later on at the midpoint of the hour and at the end of the hour, and then later on the second hour. We mentioned that a couple of times. But we certainly invite you to visit us. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to find out information not only about me and about the radio program that we have, and listen to past programs there and things of that nature, but you can also link to the page for our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And if you go there, and not only find out about our church and where we're located. We meet in a commercial suite at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's between 77 and Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. Easy to get to, easy to find, and we're thanking God we'll be there almost a year. It was March last year that we located the place that we're in now, and it was April 1st last year, which was a Friday. We had our Friday night Bible study. That was our first meeting there. We've been there ever since, and so we're really thankful for people prayed and all make that possible. But we're just thankful. But I was going to mention, we have coming up this coming Sunday, a week from today, we have our annual Pi Day Fellowship. And you normally think of Pi as P-I-E, but this is Pi with just the P-I, because International Pi Day is March the 14th. And you say, what does that got to do with the Greek letter Pi, or with pies in general? 3.14. That ought to sound familiar if you remember some of your mathematical equations. And so the symbol pi, the constant pi, 3.14 is the start of it there. And so that's just become known as Pi Day internationally. Now, it's not something you're going to have big celebrations all around the world on. But a number of years ago, somebody on a Friday night that happened to be March the 14th, brought a pie, and people said, what's the pie for? They said, well, it's Pi Day today. And we all had a good chuckle over the fact of pie, you know, the pun, P-I versus P-I-E. And so we thought, this is kind of nice. So we've been doing Pi Day Fellowship ever since then. We have pies, people bring in pies. We have people who make pies, homemade pies, including sometimes even the crust. And then we have, you know, some store-bought pies, which are good too. But we have a variety of pies for our fellowship after church. And then we also have a Sloppy Joe dinner, and kind of the emphasis on things that are round, you know. So since pie is integral to finding, circumferences and things like that as circles. But I always say we have to have a plate of brownies because, you know, in honor of the fact that the formula pi r squared. But it's just a great time to have some fellowship after church and encourage God's people to fellowship with each other and have an enjoyable time. So this coming Sunday, March the 12th, following our morning service starts at 11, so it'll probably be about 12:30, we're having our Pi Day Fellowship. And we even have some people who go to other churches who come in after their church is over and visit us and just enjoy some fellowship with God's people on our Pi Day. So that's coming up this coming Sunday, and certainly invite you to come out if you look for a chance, an opportunity. Maybe you look for an excuse to visit us sometime. Why don't you come out this coming Sunday, week from today, our morning service at 11 o'clock, and stay for our Pi Day Fellowship. I know there's going to be a lot of great pies there and some good Christian fellowship. In addition, stay for the service if at all possible. We'd love to have you come. And then usually in our Sunday evening service, that starts at 6 o'clock, we'll have leftovers. And it's not a second or a repeat of the morning service. It's a second service. On Sunday morning, I'm currently preaching through the book of the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 2. And then on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we're currently in Proverbs chapter 23. So I like preaching through books. It keeps me on target with what God's Word has to say, and it helps me to preach the whole counsel of God rather than just my favorite subject areas, which I would probably do left to myself. So I like preaching through books of the Bible. So we'd love to have you visit us sometime. And we're not a big church, but we certainly want to do the best that we can to proclaim the Word of God and help develop a biblical worldview in the people who come. We want to point people to Christ because obviously salvation is of prime importance. And then when people are saved, we want them to grow in Christ and in their understanding of God and His Word. And so that's what our emphasis is at Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And of course, this radio program is an outreach of that, an outgrowth of that, I guess you could say, as is our Friday Night Bible Study, where we can help people understand not only what the Bible has to say, but also to be able to make sense of world events in light of God's Word. And so that's what we try to do. So we have a number of things that we talk about from time to time. And as I said, you can give us a call tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have John Brown calling in again tonight. And John Brown, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you for calling.
Well, as you know, you may have heard, some of our Patriot brethren went up to Cleveland yesterday to try to preach the word of gospel, the word of God, and reprove evil up in, they had a drag queen story hour show at Near West Theater up on, I believe, Detroit Avenue it was. And we had a decent, we had about a dozen people. And even though we were heavily outnumbered, we stood there and, you know, some of the guys that went up and they told me it went pretty well. Some of our, one of our guys had, that had the megaphone, they got in his face and tried to shove him and his megaphone with their sign because they hated what their guy was saying. So there was a bit of a scuffle there, but, you know, praise the Lord, no one was hurt. No one got arrested or anything. But they hate the truth. It is amazing to see how hard-hearted these people are, who have absolutely no regard for... Not only are they boldly sinning, but they violate the law and using the same arguments that they scream towards us of free speech and freedom of assembly and everything. When we show up and exercise it, they just assault us and illegally obstruct us.
Right. Everybody's free, but some people are more free than others in their view.
And the guy who, one of the guys had a body camera and he showed me his footage and he was telling me that, they shoved the, you know, they shoved their sign in front of his megaphone and, you know, the guy was saying, "Hey, get away from me! I have a right to be here." He was on his own side of the street. All of our guys, our people, stayed on their side of the street. We don't ever recommend that anyone, you know, get in people's faces.
Right.
When we do these things, we go on and we stay on our side of the street. We're just there to hold signs, megaphone. But they all stayed on the opposite side of the street. They came across the street, got in our guys' faces. And they said, "Hey, get away from me. We have a right to be here." They said, "We don't care. We don't care." Yeah, you do, but we don't care. And they especially objected to the fact that our guys, when these wicked parents who are bringing their children into these events, they would yell, "Shame on you. Shame on you. You don't love your children if you're taking them into this. You're leading them into a lifestyle of misery and a short life at that." That incensed the other side, and that's what prompted them to attack us. I also saw another video that, I know we don't going to get too long with this, so I'll be brief, but there's another video. One of the guys who objected to the things we were saying told our guy with the megaphone saying, "Hey, if you say that again, you will be sorry." Another one of our guys who, had to leave and come back, he had some people who we've actually identified as known local anarchist activists follow them back to his car. So he had to do some diversionary tactics there. So I never thought we'd see this in our streets here in Northeast Ohio, Pastor.
Well, you know, it is a spiritual battle. And, you know, we're fighting against the same evil that has presented itself in generation after generation. On our Friday program, I was talking about how the same spirits that instigated the burning and the sacrifice of children to Moloch in the Bible that you read about, where they cause their children to pass through the fire. I believe it's the same spirits that are active today with much of this that we see going on. And you're talking about what happened last Saturday. My understanding, and you said in the past that there's another one coming up in Wadsworth, right?
Oh, yes. Yesterday was a fairly minor event compared to what's going to be happening if they go proceed with their plans in Wadsworth. To your listeners who heard me a few weeks ago when we were advertising the one in Kent that we decided to hold off on because we're pretty sure that was rescheduled. And then there the one in Cleveland. There's also this big one in Wadsworth. There's an incredibly wicked man named Aaron Reed who's determined to have a, quote, rock and roll humanist drag queen story hour, where they'll be reading a book. This is next Saturday, March 11th, I believe that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this coming Saturday.
Right.
And the event starts at 11 a.m. If people who are coming to protest it, which we expect there to be a large number of people on both sides, we need to outnumber their supporters. We have to. The media, they're calling, we're watching their social media, the lefties, and they are calling for people to come from all around, you know, even other states potentially, to help, quote, defend this show from us terrible Nazis. At least that's what we call us, which, of course, we're not Nazis.
That right.
Be further from the truth, but I think to them, anyone to the right of Bernie Sanders is a Nazi.
I think you're right. No
but
pun
anyway,
intended.
This coming Saturday. Sorry, what?
I said, I think you're right. No pun intended.
Oh, man. But this coming Saturday, March 11th, we're asking people be in place around 9:30 a.m., Wadsworth Memorial Park. Now, there are multiple entrances to this park, but please understand you can't park on the school property. The mm-hmm. stadium, the football stadium, its outbuildings, the grass immediately surrounded by that. I believe the boundaries are marked by the light poles that light up the stadium. My understanding is that's the boundary of the school property. The stadium parking lot, that's all going to be closed off. In fact, somebody showed me, they went there yesterday, he showed me pictures. They already have the barriers ready. The city is fervently feverishly putting up all these cameras in the park. You know, they're in, especially around the memorial dedication area and the
mm-hmm.
the stone. It's a big stone pavilion where they're going to be having it.
Right.
So you will not be able to actually drive into the park. Both the Grandview Avenue and Alt Street will be closed. You will not be able to drive through the park. The Kaleidoscope parking lot, it will be open, but I'm sure that'll be almost completely filled with our adversaries. I don't suggest that people park there. I suggest that possibly people park in, you know, if you know someone who lives in the area, that would be great. There's plenty of, you know, legal public parking, you know, street parking and elsewhere in the surrounding blocks, and maybe all pile into one car, one person drops you off, and then the other person goes and parks the car. But you're going to have to walk. And it's going to be the equivalent of a several-block walk to get to where we are. We need to show up in force for this because
right.
Aaron Reed is saying, he quote, he couldn't stop it now if he wanted to. He said, you have no, you quote, you right-wingers, us, have no idea what you've gotten yourselves into.
Mm-hmm.
There are talks that even like global media such as Reuters is probably going to be there. So we've got to show up in force. And again, we're not going to be screaming. We are not the Westboro crowd. Our message is repent and believe the gospel. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to show these people as best we can, peacefully and lawfully. This is wrong. First of all, this event is illegal. And if the police would, if the state prosecutors or whatever, if they would do their job, these people would be arrested. Because it is in the Ohio Revised Code. I can dig up that reference another time. I apologize. I don't have that ready. But the Ohio Revised Code prohibits, under a section titled distributing matter harmful to juveniles, it's actually could be a potentially felony offense to take children to
an explicitly sexual show like this.
Well, and you know, it's like we've said before, if these were real women dressed the way these men are and doing what these men are doing, you'd have to be 21 or older to go in. But because it's, fake women.
Yeah.
In a.
Yeah, then it's.
Then it's okay. And supposed to be child friendly. So when.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this to be graphic, but basically when a man dressed as a woman, scantily clad, essentially, gyrates his backside in the face of small children, that's child friendly. But when a woman does it, it's 21 or over.
Yes, and of course, if you're familiar with the Telegram social media site, there are plenty of videos on there that have been leaked from these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just range from incredibly tacky. There's a quote from one of the shows I don't want to say because I don't know if I can say it on air. I don't want to say it, period. But I won't quote it. But if you just search around Telegram, if you go to our call to action, Ohio call to action, number two action, call to action, Northeast Ohio, on Telegram, which is where we're telling people, hey, come and get the latest updates of this. Because, you know, these things can be canceled and moved at the last minute.
Right, and frequently are.
Just like they did in Columbus. So it's important to stay in touch. That's why we hand out flyers, but it's important to stay in touch with people that have some connections to the people actually coordinating it. Not because we want to, heavy-handed tell people what to do. We just want to share information. So, and if they have information that we don't, they can give that to us. That's call to action, call number two action, Northeast Ohio, or just search Ohio call to action, or just call to action on Telegram. You should be able to find our group pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But we are really asking people, please, 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 if at all possible, please come out and help us. Even if you're not normally the rally type. And I'm telling you, Pastor, this is not for the faint of heart.
No.
From what I saw and what I heard from the guys who were in Cleveland yesterday, it was pretty tense. and it's obvious that there's satanic forces at play. And another guy, and one of the other guys told me, even though when they started to assault us and try to push us back and block our megaphones and everything, and scream in our faces, it felt like, even though it really seemed like it was going to boil over any minute and there would be violence, it seemed like something was holding these guys back. For as mad as they were, as much as they were threatening, it seemed like there was some invisible force holding these guys back. If you watch the body camera video, the guy who had the body camera, he showed me that, and I told him that there's something holding these guys back.
Yeah,
how they were acting. They should have attacked them.
Well,
but so anyway, even though it's not for the faint of heart, Hebrews chapter 11 is not full of a bunch of idle pew sitters, is it, Pastor? The Hall of Faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's not full of men who just sat and did nothing. That's full
right.
of men who heard the call of God for them in their age to take up the battle for righteousness that was presented to them in their generation. They took it up, and they didn't just say, oh, brother, we'll pray for you. And by the way, those of you who, please pray, everyone, pray for our physical and legal safety. Pray for safe travel. Pray that, if it's God's will that the event be canceled, pray for, 2 inches of ice and, negative 30 and 60 mile an hour winds or whatever. But if it may be God's will that it goes on and that we show up and witness to some people, it may be that, for his own purposes, God wants us out there to witness to these specific people at this specific time. So pray that God's will be done, that our people are kept from any kind of physical, legal, or social harm. Because, they tried to follow us back to our cars and get our license plate numbers to dox us and identify us personally and then things like that. So just pray that we're protected from that. And but if at all possible, if you're an able-bodied person, please, please consider coming out and helping us, because we need every man we can get.
I know a lot of people are appalled at what's going on, and I wish I could show. I would hate to do it, but I wish I could show the clips that we have on Telegram of the unspeakable filth that goes on in these supposed family-friendly drag shows. If 10% of America saw that clip, we would have 20,000 people there opposing it.
Well, and it's like we've talked about before. It comes down to that. If they were real women doing this, there would be no question these things would be banned. But somehow, men dressed like this, it becomes okay. But that also points to the spiritual battle that we're in. Because you think about it, they're making a mockery of women that God created, aren't they? And they're directly attacking God's creation, the image of God, attacking image of the way God made human beings as men and women, and not in this perverted, twisted sense that these people are portraying it as. And then also, of course, corrupting the children. And remember what Jesus said, it's better that a millstone be hung about their neck rather than that they harm one of these children. Of course, I'm just paraphrasing that, but there's what you need. You need a millstone or two.
Well, you know, those are not super portable, but I mean, I know they made some smaller ones for home use. I don't know if they'd be quite as effective. But yeah, that would be a powerful visual, wouldn't it? But I don't.
Yes,
know
sir.
But so, Pastor, I know we're probably coming up to the half hour break, I believe, right?
Yeah, we'll be coming up on that shortly here. And again, when and where is this taking place Saturday?
Wadsworth Memorial Park, the city of Wadsworth. It's in Medina County. It's pretty much just about to the west of Akron. It's easy to find. It's the big memorial park on Grandview Avenue, just off their main street. You can look it up, Google Maps or whatever. It's the city of Wadsworth, Ohio, in Medina County. It's just their memorial park. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
We do not yet know exactly what – we know that they're going to be in the main pavilion because they only have one big pavilion there. But we don't know how much of that space they're blocking off.
Mm-hmm.
The police are going to be there. They're cordoning off an area and everything. But hopefully the police we trust in Wadsworth will do a good job of keeping everyone safe and keeping the opposing side separate, because that's usually how they do that. We don't know how far back they're going to keep us, so we'll just have to look for the friendly protesters. Also, bring your signs. Emphasize the fact that this does not belong in these small towns. The
right.
People who support this went to the city council and said, "Your small town values are obsolete. We will show you how it's going to be going forward."
Well, we are in a spiritual battle, John Brown. We're coming up on the break. I want to thank you for calling in. Thank you for your stand and those of others. I appreciate that some of the people I understand that listen to the radio program were there in Cleveland. Hopefully they'll be able to be out in Wadsworth as well. This is a battle. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But I also like the fact that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. John Brown, we'll be praying for you and for those that are going to be out there this coming Saturday, standing up against this evil that's afflicting our land right now. And what's that Telegram channel again?
Call to action. Call number 2, action. You'll see it on Telegram. And, that's just the best way to find us, because we can't post it anywhere else. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, appreciate that. I appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from John Brown in the future and how these are turning out, but this is a concerted effort. I've had some sources that have told me that the Biden administration has made money available to kind of get these things going, and one of the places they're talking is small towns, conservative towns across Middle America. It's an effort to destroy this country by attacking the morality. It is a spiritual battle, and God's people need to be praying and standing up in the fight. Well, stay tuned. We got another hour and a half to go. Don't go away. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight. And you can certainly find out more about us. Go online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find a variety of things. You can see links to past programs there at livewithpastoral.com, number of articles and things that I've written, and some other materials and different things that are all there at livewithpastoral.com. You can also click over to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church page, where I am the pastor, and more information about that there. And you can see where we're at, see what we got coming up. As I mentioned in the last half hour, we've got our annual Pi Day Fellowship following the morning service a week from today on Sunday, March the 12th, coming up. And we certainly invite people to come out and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. You can find all that. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School there. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program tonight. Of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got a couple of people waiting. We'll get to them. Appreciate John Brown calling in the last half hour. And, you know, pray for those folks that are out standing up at these events. And of course, a lot of times they go by pseudonyms because, you know, they're people who are always trying to dox them or cause problems, and so obviously a number of the people involved there hide their names and don't give their names out in public for obvious security reasons. They've had threats made against them, but that's why we need to pray for them. And I was thinking of Ephesians chapter 6, where we were talking about the wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And as Paul's talking about that, and he talks about the armor of God and standing in the battle, he says this. He says this in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to pray for one another in the days, in the time in which we live. In all time, we ought to be praying for each other, and certainly praying for those that are taking stand, those are at the forefront, and pray for those that are trying to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in these latter days. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy, who's been waiting patiently for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for welcoming me into the program. I'm praying for that John Brown. Gosh, that's such an important mission that he has. It's such wicked behavior. God bless him. And, well, anyhow, my question or comment or subject tonight is about the reprobate mind. And I know that's controversial, but I also have heard that only God can decide who has a reprobate mind. And then also my question is, doesn't everyone have a chance to get saved up until the time that they die, which would sort of make the reprobate mind theory obsolete? But it's very confusing to me. And then Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So I would like to know your opinion, definition, application of reprobate mind. Thank you.
Well, yeah, like you said, reprobate is a an interesting term, and I'm just looking here a second here. It comes from a Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and I don't play one on the radio, but we do understand that sometimes knowing the definition of the original words is pretty good, and this appears to have the connotation of something that's been rejected, or something that's been unapproved and so rejected, or the implication is that it's become worthless, cast away, something that's it's basically been found wanting and set aside, reprobate. Mm-hmm. So that's where the basis of the word comes in. But this idea of being given over to a reprobate mind, we see this in Romans chapter 1 verse 28, as you pointed out, where it's talking about people who have rejected God. And in fact, let me go back up a little bit further here in the chapter, where it says in let's go up to verse number 18. 18, Romans chapter 1, starting verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now, that's verses 18 and 19. It's all one sentence, and it's talking about unrighteous people that should know about God. They should have an awareness at least that God exists, but they have essentially turned from that. And he continues on in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the next two verses, verses 20 and 21, also another sentence, one sentence. And let me interject here. If you're reading in a Bible that divides Romans up in 1 here, verses 20 and 21, as well as verses 18 and 19 into separate verses or into several verses, or I mean separate sentences or several sentences, you need a Bible that doesn't do that, like the King James Bible, because when you divide these sentences up, you lose track of what's going on here. And I want to make that point, because no doubt there might be somebody who picks up their Bible and they don't see what we're reading here because their Bible has been changed. Get a good King James Bible and stick with that. Not the New King James. Get the old King James, 1611. And so as you're reading here, he's clearly saying that even the unsaved are without excuse, because there's enough, not only in verses 18 and 19, for them to know that God exists. God's let them know that he exists. There's a God awareness that they turn a blind eye to. Verse 20 says, creation itself clearly shows that there's a God. That's why in the Old Testament he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because it's the height of foolishness to deny that God exists, in spite of the vast, overwhelming evidence that he exists. And so now he says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to beasts and birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. So the progression, this is where I'm going. God has revealed himself to human beings. He's put a God awareness in us that some people have rejected. He signed his signature to creation. You know, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. It's clear that there is a creator, that God exists, and people have rejected God and changed the glory of God and rejected it and corrupted it into, you know, making God like animals and things like that. And this is where we come down, starting to get down to the use of the term reprobate. It says in verse 24, wherefore God gave them, also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So you see the transition now. They've rejected God, though God has made himself abundantly clear, or made himself abundantly, or given abundant evidence to them. They should know that he at least exists. They might not know exactly who he is, but in spite of the abundant evidence that he does exist, they've rejected him. And they've turned to their own beliefs, and they've worshiped the creature more than the creator. And so now we see in verse 26, God is now rejecting them because they've rejected him. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And so God has now rejected them, turned them over to their own wicked ways, their own wicked sin nature. And then verse 28 ties it together. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. See, there's what we were just saying. They had, you know, they should have had awareness of God. God's tried to make himself known to them, and they didn't want it. They've rejected God. And so here's the phrase now, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Mm-hmm. Why? They rejected God, and they reached the point where God now says, you want nothing to do with me? Well, remember we talked about reprobate being cast away useless, essentially. There's nothing more I can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he turns them over to a reprobate mind. He lets them go and do their own thing, which, of course, is to follow their own sin nature. And as he says, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. And he goes on in a litany of wickedness that they're falling prey to. But the key is, God rejected them because they rejected him, and they repeatedly rejected him. And so God has essentially said, well, there's really not much more I can do with them, and he's put them aside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence, this is that castaway nature there. You know, they've become useless, of no value. And God can't do anything. He's not going to force them to get saved. Now, the question then, of course, becomes when somebody reaches this point, and I think this might be what you were talking about, can a person like this get saved?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
Right. Well, here's my thought, for what it's worth. We see that God has clearly tried to reach them, clearly tried to make them know that he exists, and despite all of his efforts, they've rejected him. Now, here's the thing. They're still alive.
Right.
If I met somebody that God has given over to a reprobate mind, I may or may not suspect that. In a lot of cases, I might have a good suspicion of it. John Brown talking about these events that they protested, some of the people involved in them, we might make the case given over to reprobate mind. But here's the thing. I don't know for sure, and you know, I don't think anybody else knows for sure if they've been given over to a reprobate mind and they're now unreachable. My thought is this. As long as there's breath in somebody's body, we ought to try and share the gospel with them if we have the opportunity, and we ought to pray for their salvation. Now, if we get to heaven and God says, listen, you were praying for John Doe's salvation. I'd given him over to a reprobate mind. You wasted your time praying for him. Well, I'd rather have God rebuke me for wasting my time praying for somebody's salvation than for God to say, you know, everybody thought he was reprobate, but I was just hoping that somebody would get a burden for him and pray for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen.
You see what I'm saying? So my position is, whether or not somebody is turned over to a reprobate mind and is irredeemable, my position is I don't know that for sure. And if God lays somebody on my heart to pray for, I ought to pray for them. If God lays somebody on my heart and gives me the opportunity to be a witness to them, I ought to be a witness to them. Because sometimes people, when they're under conviction, they put up a big front. And it's almost like a defensive mechanism because they're afraid that they're going to, you know, essentially succumb to the gospel message, and they're trying to drive you away, trying to keep that from happening, and they put up a front. And it may well be that they're right on the edge of coming to Christ. Oh, who was the guy? Mel Trotter, I believe it was, who went on to found the City Mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then was instrumental in a number of them, others being saved. Mel Trotter is a man that probably would have been said of him that God gave him over to a reprobate mind. He was a drunk. When his daughter, his daughter died because essentially of his drunkenness, not providing food and medicine and care that she needed. And at the funeral for his dead daughter, he pretended to weep over the casket so he could steal the shoes off from her body and pawn them, sell them to get alcohol, to get a drink. And he was so bad that he was going to kill himself. On one snowy Chicago night, he was walking down the street going to throw himself into the Chicago River. He got to the point where he had given up on himself, and he passed by famous mission. It's right there. Nancy, you probably know about it. They do the Unshackled programs.
The tip of my tongue, I can't.
Yeah, now you're drawing a blank, too. I got myself on a blank here. But at any rate, it's there in Chicago. And Pacific Garden Mission, there it is. I just could not think of that for some reason. But they had a policy, and I believe they still have this policy today. 24/7, somebody would stand out in front of the Pacific Garden Mission in case there was somebody that they were able to bring into the mission. And it was a bitter cold night. Mel Trotter was stumbling through the blinding snow, ready to throw himself in the Chicago River. And the man that was standing outside under the cross that says Jesus saves, I think is what it said, and he's standing out there, and he thought, it's so cold, nobody's going to be out on the street. I haven't seen anybody. It's just so miserable. I'm just going to go in for a minute or two and just warm my hands and my feet up, and then I'll come right back out. There's nobody out on the streets. And he was wrestling with that thought, and then reminded, no, we're supposed to be out here all the time. And while he was wrestling with that thought, he saw this figure appear stumbling down the street in the snow, and it was Mel Trotter. And he got him to go into the mission. Mel Trotter was so drunk, he just passed out in there in the mission near the Potbelly stove or whatever they had for heat. And he woke up the next day hardly knowing how he got there. But one thing led to another. Mel Trotter put his life, gave his life to Christ. He was saved. His sins were forgiven. The Spirit of God took up residence in his heart. He was called to preach, and he went on to found city missions, like I said, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and others, and instrumental in who knows how many thousands of people's lives being changed and coming around. And people would have called him reprobate, because he was so wicked and so known for his depraved and drunken nature that people would have probably wrote him off, but God didn't. And somebody, I'm convinced, was still praying for him. I don't know. Did he have a relative somewhere praying for him, a friend somewhere praying for him? Somebody somewhere was praying for that man. And that's why I believe if God lays somebody on your heart, don't worry about whether they're reprobate or not. If God lays them on your heart, pray for them. And like I said, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You get to heaven and God says, hey, you know, you wasted your time praying for that guy. He was reprobate. I washed my hands of him. Oh, okay, Lord, I'm sorry I prayed for somebody's salvation. You know, obviously that's...
Well, you know what, Pastor Al? I don't think God would do that.
No, I don't think... And obviously I'm saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Okay, I know. Because God wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
He wants us to pray for everybody and witness to everybody.
Exactly. But I
love your listening.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wouldn't lay it on your heart if the person was truly, God had truly given up on him. And here's, how about this for a thought, though? Maybe there are some people that God has said, well, okay, this person's reprobate, but if one person gets a burden for them and starts to pray for them, maybe God reconsiders and says, you know what? Somebody's praying for him. I'll touch this person's heart.
That's a good possibility. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are times in the Bible we saw people praying and asking God, beseeching God to change his mind, change his course of action.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
And so as a consequence, maybe that's what it takes sometimes. Somebody to get a burden, somebody to care, somebody to pray, and even somebody that the world might call a reprobate, they could still come to Christ. So, you know, I don't worry about whether somebody has been written off. If they're unsaved, as long as there's breath in their body, I'm just prayerfully hopeful that there's a chance that they could get saved.
Oh, I agree. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful discussion and reprobate mind. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Nancy. Thanks for calling. And I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. So God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry calling in. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I like to thank Craig for taking my calls every week.
yeah. It's, I'm glad you call. I mean, it's good. You usually have something good input to give us here.
Yeah, I was doing some, there was something else I was going to talk about. But first, I was doing some study, and I've been back in Genesis.
Uh-huh.
And I was just studying about Noah.
Right.
And I never, I believe we have to read and read and read and read, because there's when we think we have it all down pat,
mm-hmm.
we don't. You know, we can always learn something, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And tonight, I never realized this before, but I always blamed Ham for seeing his father's nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was Ham's fault. But I found out it wasn't really necessarily all Ham's fault. It was Noah's fault, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's in Genesis chapter 9, of course.
Yeah, and it was Noah's fault, too, because Noah shouldn't have got drunk in the first place.
Right.
And he wouldn't have been naked and Ham wouldn't have seen his nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't Ham's fault for seeing his naked. It was his father's fault. But the one thing that Ham did is he told his brothers
mm-hmm.
about this, and he shouldn't have. He should have just simply covered them up.
Right, right. The context is almost like it's almost like mocking his father,
right.
or in some way, shaming him.
And because of Ham's neck, or because of Noah's sinning, drinking, he wouldn't have cursed. He put a curse on Ham
mm-hmm. and on his children.
And on his children,
Canaan in particular. It was his one son, Canaan, in particular, which leads some people to believe that perhaps Canaan, Ham's son, Canaan, was perhaps involved in some way as well.
Right, but because of the curse that he put on Ham, all these problems happened.
Yes,
and that wouldn't have happened if he wouldn't have if he didn't get it, all because he got drunk.
Exactly, and well, that's one of the reasons the Bible talks about being sober-minded, so that we can be in control. Because unfortunately, when somebody is drunk, inebriated, whatever you want to call it, the will is not operating as it should. Controlling our behavior and everything, and the sin nature instead now begins to control. And of course, the devil and the world, and the devil and the flesh conspiring together never works out good. Hey Terry, we're coming up on the break here. You want to hold over, and we'll jump get you in the next hour. But I want everybody to keep listening. We've got another hour to go.